Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of James. Beginning in chapter 3, verse 13, we will read through chapter 4, verse 3, and then verses 7 through 8. In the New King James Version, the Pew Bible, we're on page 1717. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and everything evil are there. But the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Skip down to verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You don't belong here. Those words crushed an 8-year-old girl's heart, and the pain stayed. Her family had immigrated from a refugee camp in a war-torn country to a new country, and her immigration card had the word alien stamped on it. She felt like she didn't belong. War makes you feel like you don't belong anywhere. You don't belong among people being killed and injured and terrorized. You don't belong in a place being destroyed. Yet many new people may not feel that you belong among them. After all, you have different language and customs. You may make life uncomfortable and harder for them. They may have to share what they have with you. Now, it's not always that way. We read in the Upper Room reading on Monday, September the 23rd, the words of Anna. She wrote, "My home is Ukraine, but I now live in Estonia. My friends and I still remember the horror we experienced during the first weeks of the war. We hid in the cellar of a high-rise building for 10 days during the air raids. Then we decided to start a long journey out of the country. We traveled through Romania and other countries to get to Estonia. Everywhere we journeyed, we were met by people who helped us in countless ways. With God's help, we found our way out of danger and were encouraged by God's Spirit at every step. Once in Estonia, I decided together with my friends to get involved as a volunteer, helping to feed the refugees who were fleeing Ukraine. I found the best way to deal with worries and haunting memories is to help other people." War. Does it ever really solve our problems? Often, even when the ceasefire comes, it's more like two boxers going to their respective corners to stop the bleeding and to take a few deep breaths to come back and slug it out again. There's a story about a little boy at the breakfast table with his parents, and he broke the silence by asking about a war. How did the war start? His dad began to explain how it all got started. After a few minutes, the boy's mom interrupted. "That's not what happened." The boy looked back and forth at his mom and dad, who began to argue about who was right and who was wrong about the war. After a few minutes, the boy said, "That's okay. I think I understand." In James 4, 1 through 2, the brother of Jesus writes, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war." We want what we want. We want what others have. We are right and others are wrong. We want to be in control. We are even at war within ourselves. Can there be peace? In the book, The Anatomy of Peace, Resolving the Heart of Conflict, the Arbinger Institute writes about having a heart at peace or having a heart at war. It's a way of being. A heart at peace will see others as people, their hopes, their needs, and their fears. They're as real to me as my own. A heart at war will see others as objects. They're obstacles, they're irrelevant, they're problems to be solved. They're either seeing it my way or they're in my way. How we see others is important because it will determine how we respond to them. Let's face it, not everyone will see things in the same way that we do. Some things are merely personal preferences. Others are more important because they press against our understanding of God and the wisdom of God. Those are the times that we have to be even more vigilant about listening and treating others with a conduct that is becoming God, conduct that is based on the wisdom of God. Those are the times that we may need to choose courage, not just to engage in conversation or confrontation, but courage which has respect for every person is created by God. Courage which has honor. Everything that we do can honor God. These are times in which our conduct is more than good behavior, but it is based on the wisdom of God. In God's little devotional, there's this advice. Virtually every problem that frustrates or angers us has a solution. We can usually find that solution if we will only put our emotions on hold for a while and consider the situation from another point of view. Lance came home angry. One of his best supervisors had quit to take a better paying job. He had put a great deal of time and energy in training this woman. Once he calmed his emotions, however, he began to think, how would I feel if I were her? Liking my present job, but offered a job with better pay. The next morning, Lance talked to his manager about offering the woman a small raise and a shift in her hours so that she could be at home when her children arrived from school. The manager agreed, and the supervisor quickly accepted the offer. A mother became frustrated that her son's toys seemed to be continually strewn about their room. She was tired of scolding them, so she calmed herself and she thought, what could I do to make picking up easier? So Diane bought an inexpensive stack of storage containers, a pre-printed chart, and a stopwatch. She made picking up a game that the boys loved. What bothers you today? Rather than explode, stop to think. What might you do to change things? Stop, think, solve. In James 4, 2 through 3, we're told, you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasure. So sometimes we do not have because we do not ask God. We do not ask God for the things we need. We do not ask God for the help that we need. We do not ask God for the wisdom that we need. Sometimes we ask, but we do not receive because we're asking for things for our own pleasure. We ask for things that are not in God's will. Stop, pray, think, solve. Wisdom from God, godly wisdom, bears 7 identifying marks. And we find those listed in one verse, in verse 17. Wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits, it's without partiality and without hypocrisy. So first of all, wisdom from above is pure. It's unmixed with evil. A believer should have spiritual integrity and moral sincerity. Then wisdom from above is peaceable. It's ready for peace, peace-loving, promoting peace. Bible commentator Gordon Poteet writes, as to the means that is used to achieve peace, there's room for a difference of opinion. However, can there be any dispute that the vocation of every Christian, whatever his status in society, is to make peace? Every Christian should strive to secure those conditions and relationships that will make possible goodwill, concord, and cooperation instead of hatred, strife, and conflict. T.Z. Koo has illustrated the meaning of peace by the use of three Chinese characters. They're all similarly translated peace. The first one is ping, and it suggests equality. Peace obtains where no one seeks to domineer over another. And the second one is an. It's a drawing or a symbol representing a woman under a roof. And so that peace is obtained when homes are unmolested and they're tranquil. And the third is ho. It's a character containing two elements, mouth and grain. So it suggests that peace is obtained when all have sufficient to eat. So wisdom from above is also gentle or considerate. In a position of strength, the wise person is considered one who might make those who otherwise would be dominated or manipulated. They look out for them. And wisdom from above is willing to yield, is compliant. In a position of weakness, the wise one is reasonable, yielding, and obedient. For the Christian, it is obedience to God's standards. One instructor that I had for several classes when I was taking the basic course of study for local pastors through the Alabama course of study was a Brady Whitehead Jr. He was an excellent Bible scholar and professor. Now, it's hard to say, but at the time, Brady was probably in his late 60s to early 70s. In addition to the Bible, which remained vividly fresh in his mind, was an incident which happened when he was in his mid-teens, as Brady told the story. Brady was 14, and his hero was 19-year-old Bobby. Bobby was athletic, he was muscular, and he was kind enough to allow a 14-year-old kid to hang out with him. One day, Bobby and Brady were walking on the sidewalk in town when the two guys came face-to-face with three guys. One of the guys looked at Bobby and asked, "Got a match?" Bobby answered, "No." The guy responded, "What's the matter? Don't you smoke?" Again, Bobby answered, "No." The other guy responded by clenching his fist and socking Bobby in the jaw. Now, Brady is silent during this exchange, but in his mind, he's shouting, "Get him, Bobby. You can take all three." Well, Bobby staggers slightly from the blow, and then he turns his face, exposing the other side. He turns his cheek. Clearly surprised, the adversary pauses, and then he says to his two buddies, "Ah, come on, let's get out of here." Brady and Bobby take off walking in their initial direction. After a couple of steps, they hear, "Hey." When Brady and Bobby turn and look back, the guy says, "Look, I'm sorry." Wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits. True wisdom results in the true religion, acts of mercy, and true faith, acts of charity. And wisdom from above is without partiality. John MacArthur notes that the Greek word occurs only here in James and denotes a consistent, unwavering person who is undivided in his commitment and conviction and does not make unfair distinctions. And finally, wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. Having nothing to hide, wisdom is without hypocrisy. It's genuine. It can be taken at face value. James 3:18 says, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Remember the 8-year-old girl who heard, "You don't belong here"? Well, Dave Branson tells a portion of her story in our Daily Bread, a reading for Monday, September the 23rd, 2024. As an adult, although she put her faith in Jesus, she still felt alienated, stung by the feeling that she was an unwelcome outsider. When reading her Bible, she discovered the promises of Ephesians 2. In verse 12, she saw that old troubling word, alien. "You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." However, as she kept reading, she saw how Christ's sacrifice had changed her status. She got to verse 19, which told her, "You are no longer a foreigner or an alien." She was a fellow citizen with God's people. Because of our sin, we were alienated from God. Jesus brought peace to all who were far away. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant us your peace that we may be at peace within ourselves and with others. Amen.